people, they want to know like your niche, like what's your niche. And I'm so anti-niche that I go against the grain. Like I don't tell people I have a niche because I feel like it's so limiting to the expansion of a company.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Robert Sislo of Sislo Ventures and formerly of the Grant Cardone organization. I don't know which part though. I think it was the agency, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it transferred. I was like the main and then it kind of like, I just started building an agency while I was there. So still a part, but you know.
I love the fluid nature. So Robert is known, I think, at least in my circle, we met at 10X 2.0, I guess it was, in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And as brief as that was, I understood at that time you were kind of the video guru for Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, video guru and marketing and promotion guy. That was me.
So, well, first of all, thank you for joining me on the podcast, and I'm excited to learn about what you're working on.
Thanks, man. I'm happy you reached out to me on Facebook. That was awesome. I mean, that just proves my theory about what I teach my clients and what I do. So it just works, which is beautiful. So thank you for having me.
So on that point, what is the, I guess, first of all, who's the person that you typically work with and what are you helping them with?
You know, it's really funny because people, they want to know like your niche, like what's your niche. And I'm so anti-niche that I go against the grain. Like I don't tell people I have a niche because I feel like it's so limiting to the expansion of a company. Now, are there niche products? Of course, like there's things you can go down into, but really, for me, it's about anyone that needs promotion, anyone that needs communication as a product and service into the marketplace. The only things I don't talk about have to do with or work with is anything with CBD, marijuana, psychology, or pharmaceutical drugs. Otherwise, everything else is
very
open range for me.
So you've been out on your own. You left that organization. You started your own agency. You said it was like about a year ago?
A year and a half ago, exactly, I left. Yeah.
So what's that experience been like?
Well, it was, you know, it was a very interesting story because I had a non-compete for a year.
Oh.
So try to grow a company where your primary source of revenue is based on the knowledge and information that you have that's contained underneath a non-compete. So how does one build a business and survive, right? So it was, you know, I tried to, there was a part of me that was like, I don't want to do this promotion thing anymore. Let me see if I can reinvent and try something new. So I tried a couple of different ventures and I had a sufficient amount of money saved up, but I ran out of cash like 4 months out.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, this is terrible, right? So I tried one thing. I tried another thing. I aligned with the wrong people. Like I made all the wrong mistakes you should never make. But I did it anyway because I thought that I could make it go right just based on my skills and what I brought to the table. And so, you know, we had the non-compete, we had those kind of failed situations. And I remember one day I was like, well, I got to pay rent and I don't know what I'm going to eat today. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what do I know? And I got really clear on this and I wrote it down and I looked at it and I was like, all right, well, I know video and I know how to help people build brands. I know how to do that. So I just picked up my phone and I started calling people. Hey, do you know anybody that needs video? Do you know anybody that needs some promotion work? Do you know any, like, because I couldn't work directly with these people because they were under the non-compete, but I asked for referrals and I was like, hey, dude, do you know someone? And I scaled I made 20 grand in a week.
Oh man, that's great.
So I went from death to like, boom, okay, we're all right. Everything's cool. So I just started replicating that process over and over and over and over and over again. And then I was like, all right, I want to get back into the promotion thing. So during that period of about 6 months when I got everything corrected, and I talked about this in the article that I did, but I didn't go on social media at all. I didn't post on social media. I didn't look at anybody on social media. And I just stopped. And then I went back and I didn't post, but I started just watching. Okay. And so what I did was I said, wow, there's a lot of similarities between this person, this person, this person, this person. They're all trying to be like these top level guys. And then these guys try to mimic these people. And then I wouldn't see any engagement out of that. And then I would see people complaining that marketing doesn't work. So while I was doing all this kind of restructuring, I started making notes and analyzing all this data and information. And then I was like, all right, I need to promote. So what can I do? I can't talk about X. But what can I talk about? Well, I could talk about myself. I could talk about my lifestyle. I could talk about what I observe. And inadvertently, that's how I scaled a company. Wow. And inadvertently, that's how I discovered the new thing that I do with promotion. So I have a training course on that. I teach all my clients this. And it's more about getting away from that kind of product arena and more of that, like, you know, just buy type of a situation. And we drill down on effective communication for an individual, not communication that somebody else uses, because you'll hear people say things that other people say. But like in your situation, like, who is Michael? What is Michael? How does he talk? Why does he talk like that? What does he think about? Why is he thinking about that? What does he do? So we go into all that stuff, and then the engagement instantly increases off that, because now you found this kind of distinguishing factor. So there was a lot of stuff that was happening in that first year where I was like, all right, I'm out of cash. Okay, I solved my problem. And I live on the ocean here, so I would go paddleboarding in the mornings, right? And that was just like kind of my thing. I still do that, but it's been a little crappy here in Miami for a while. But believe it or not, just sharing that experience had brought me an additional $60,000 in income. That never asking crazy. People to go to a website, never asking people to buy, just pure, this is my world, let's have a conversation, and then boom, all this money started and connections started to happen because of that.
How, you know, because I think in the back of my head, I have this weird feeling that maybe holds me back where it's like, that's not going to do anything. But, you know, did you know that if you were that authentic and put it out there that you were going to hit it? Or was it just like a discovery?
It was a little of both, because honestly, I got so sick and tired of being in a box, and I had to operate and communicate within this box, that I couldn't expand into Robert Sislow. And that's nobody's fault. It's just what it was. I was an employee, whatever. But sure. Now that I was, okay, I've got full autonomous control, I'm going to do marketing and promotion, everybody and their grandmother can be an advertising agency. What's the distinguishing factor? And so it was kind of coupled with that analysis that I did. And then when I started to do it, what the results were, and I was like, oh my God, okay, that works. So and the reason why I come to that conclusion is for an artist, I track every single stat that I do. How many phone calls did I make? How many ads did I produce? How many social posts and Instagram stories have I done? How many email, like everything is tracked. And so I track engagement like that too. And then I, you know, course correct based on whatever happens. Like I can literally show you my stats. Damon, who usually is here, my right-hand man. We see our promotion stat and we see our income stat. And if the promotion stat does this, the income stat does this.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And if the promotion stat does this, the income stat does this. Like it's magical. So it was both a discovery and also an attempt to find what is the distinguishing factor. And I just said, I'm just going to be me. I'm not going to try to reinvent anything. I'm not going to try to like glorify anything. I'm just going to be Robert Sislow. And then as I went further, I know I'm talking a lot, but as I went further, I watched these top level entrepreneurs and I was like, these guys don't mimic anybody else.
They're doing their own thing.
They're doing their own thing. We're all trying to be like these people.
Interesting.
And I was like, why am I doing that?
Yeah.
And so the second that I broke that kind of like thing and I just went into, I'm going to go create my own system, the magic happened. So you might have, there's always that consideration, it doesn't work, but that's because we don't have the correct information about what promotion actually is. It's actually promotion. It is not advertising. Promotion is the making known of your product or service or yourself. Advertising is the actual physical money distribution of that promotion.
Interesting. Yeah, right. So it's the traffic part.
Yeah.
It's so, getting that message out to an audience is just the advertising part. But what you're talking about is creating an authentic message that people resonate with.
Right. But I'm going one step further because there's a lot of people that say, oh, be authentic, but nobody knows how to be authentic.
Right.
Like you're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, in my programs, I literally have you write everything out. And then I say, that's your authenticity. Because that's who you really are. And we bring people through this kind of process, all my clients from I've got nothing to, oh my God, I know a lot. Hmm. And when you start to do this style of promotion, you get yourself known, but you also reinforce your own ability to understand I know what I'm doing. Promotion makes you know your game, right? So if you're going to go out and try to promote every day, you need to make sure that you know all of your stuff connected to that, right? So your sales increase, your pitch increases, your ability to communicate increases, your emails, and everything just increases because your communication level now is way higher than just duplicating what somebody else was saying.
So, there's two parts to that. One, which is the message, right? Mm-hmm. And just being you. And the second is probably actually putting it out there.
Yeah.
And I think people probably struggle a little bit with both, it seems like, because from what you're describing.
They do. Or, I've had clients who are like, I've got the best content. I've got the best program. I've got the best systems. And I ask them, I say, what did you say about it?
You didn't tell
them.
They
didn't say anything. But then here's the other discovery I came across was that these guys were really good in person. Mm-hmm. Like if you and I or they were in front of you, they could close you. But what happens is when people transfer over to social media, they change. That interpersonal communication disappears and it becomes whatever. It becomes fabricated, altered. It just loses its, as you said, authenticity. So what I train people to do is to take that sales communication and transfer it over to your marketing. Because technically what marketing should do is handle all objections before someone talks to you. They should be warmed up and educated before they talk to you. And that's how you said, give me insight into how to grow a brand fast. Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. Every single person I talk to, every single objection I encounter, every single problem that occurs from clients and customers before they become clients becomes my marketing material.
Interesting.
As related to me.
Right.
And then I keep promoting that, putting that stuff out there, and then I don't run into those issues when I talk to someone.
So when you, even with your own stuff, you're putting it out on social channels where you think your clients might be, and what volume? Like, that's always a big question, which is like, should I be doing it once a week or 20 times a day? I guess, what worked for you? Because you went from zero to 200 customers, and now you're talking much bigger numbers too.
Yeah. So, what I started to do was I was doing one post every other day, just to like force myself to kind of reintroduce my presence into the marketplace. So at the beginning there, it was once every other day, a photo. I wasn't doing video yet, but it was just photography. And then when my non-compete lifted, I started going ham. Like it was twice a day. Instagram stories were like 25 a day, 25 to 30 a day. And then a post on Instagram was once. The only platform where I don't post every day is Instagram on the wall. Like I will do every other day because I let that kind of work for me. So I look at social media and so I look at posts as kind of property investments for me. And I know that's probably a little funny, but
I'm putting it down and then it refers.
Yeah, so let's get it out and I watch what the engagement does. And if it doesn't do well, then I'm like, I'll post again. But like I did an article, the one you reached out to me on, that was one of my most liked posts in a couple of weeks. And I was like, all right, good. So let's settle that down for a minute. That's still floating in the ether. I'm still getting comments and likes from that post that was posted Sunday. So it's been 2 days since then. I'll probably start posting again tomorrow. So I'm always analyzing numbers and information. So recommended one every other day to start, minimal. If you could do three a week, good. But once that muscle is in there and you understand what your message is, and that's what I teach all the clients that I have, is like, let's turn up the volume now. Like, let's start getting this going. Now, do I think you need to do 20 a day? Not at all. I don't think so. I don't believe that at all. There's no evidence to even support that. So I look at what my reach and my engagement is, and then I go from there.
So, are you doing stuff on LinkedIn out of curiosity, or is it just strictly you are? Okay. Mm-hmm.
LinkedIn is about two a day. Facebook's two a day. Twitter's three or four times a day. And then Instagram stories are frequent, maybe 30 to 40 a day. And then the actual post every day.
So are you producing content every day? Or are you kind of chunking it and then releasing
a little bit of both, right? So with the video stuff, I pick a day. I usually do it at the beginning of the month and the end of the month. And I'll just shoot everything and edit everything in one day. So I'm set for the month. Photography is usually accompanied at the same time. And then I'm writing all the content for this stuff every day. So I'm creating everything from there. I do have a team that helps me distribute it, but I, but like this, that's only on Instagram. Everything else is all me.
Interesting. Okay. And then right. Are you doing traditional prospecting, or are you finding that you don't need to do that with this?
I don't need to.
Okay.
I don't need to do it. I mean, I do it a little bit. If I feel like things aren't really moving, I'll turn up the, I do phone calls every day, right? So that's obviously a thing, but traditional prospecting is a little bit different for me because I'm out there so much. So things just tend to come to me, which is what the purpose of what I'm doing is.
So when I talk to you, for example, like, and I feel like a lot of, well, I'll use myself. I feel like I'm Frogger. Where I'm not great over here. I could produce so much content and I love doing that. And I feel like, well, I'm not doing enough over here. So I keep going into this thing that maybe is not as effective. So I feel like rather than being stuck in the middle, what I'm seeing is you're saying you're having the success, go all in and just understand the volume it takes and don't be shy about it.
It's the thing, man. Like nobody understands the amount of that. When I talk about this stuff, I talk about the long-term play that's connected with this because it's long-term, you know, and it can get tiring. You'd be like, I don't want to promote today. I don't want to create anything today. There are days I don't want to promote. There are days where I don't want to go on Instagram story, but I just do it anyway. So you're talking about a long-term thing till you die. Like right. As long as you're in this business of whatever business you're in, it is a long-term play that's going to require tremendous effort. But over time, it's actually not as effortful as you think. I'm producing anywhere from 50 to 60 ads a week right now. And okay. I have time to market and promote myself with my team. Okay. So I'm saying, yes, go all in on it because it's you're basically asserting your dominance into the space. You know what I mean? You're asserting your position in the space. And the more that you can do that, the more you assert yourself.
Interesting. And how long did, like, you know, obviously you got a lot of your initial, you got kind of out of your initial hole through connections and referrals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a tipping point where that wasn't that needed anymore? Like how long in did you find after producing a lot of content? And what are your clients? Does it probably vary, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think once I could really communicate the way I wanted to, back in December when the non-compete shot up, I mean, the income was like, wow, it was just, whoosh, it went through the roof. You could
are you saying that. December 2019?
Yeah, December 2019, wow. December 1st. December 1st. So yeah. December 1st went and I was like, I'm here. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. And so the referral thing is not so much anymore. Now it's just direct, like, hey, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. We do our thing and then we go from there. So, and I still have a bunch of connections that I associate with and talk to. So of course, I mean, referrals are part of the sales process, but the promotion wing of it definitely assists in making it a lot simpler for sure. So, and as I said, there's that correlation between the stat and then the actual income. It's totally apparent.
That's, I mean, I think you're hitting on a really important point because I think it's the analytics is what you're saying. You've created your own analytics, your own model, and then you're trusting what you're reading as to, okay, I need to do this or this. You're making decisions based upon that information, which I don't think I do. I mean, I think that's probably, and I'm guessing most people don't, right?
Yeah, they don't. They fire and they're not sure what they're firing. So what I do is I'm like, hey, let's sit down. Who are you? What do you know? Let's fire that. Good. What do your customers want when you talk to them on the phone all the time? Oh, they want this. Good. Where's the content on that? Oh, I don't do that. Good. Okay. What are the reasons why people don't buy from you? Blah, 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 blah. Good. Where's the content on that?
So you're taking that whole secret, like you said, you know, I come from a more traditional face-to-face B2B type sales background. And it sounds like you have people that are similar. You're taking that sales process that's like this and you're going one to many.
That's right. But it's not really one to many if you think about it, because there's going to be one person that looks at it. So you're really having a one-to-one conversation. So there's a two-way communication that's taking place. They may not talk back to you. And this is something that I realized too. I was like, there is a two-way thing that's happening here. They may not be responding to me. They may not be saying anything to me, but they're seeing something. Something is being said. Funny. Something is being said in their minds. And then one day they're waiting for me to say one thing for them to be like, I got to talk to this guy.
Interesting.
And always, it always happens. Like it just always, always, always happens. I've never not seen it not happen. So yes, that sales process that we discussed, if you're good one-to-one, you're awesome. You should be awesome on social media. Like it's the same thing, you know? And it's not, there's like that fear, oh my God. And then people will be like, well, I only had 200 views on it. I'm like, when's the last time you stood in a room with 200 people? That's a lot of damn people, like, man.
So I've just started doing these events, and my first event's on March 18th called Founder Pack.
Nice.
So, I mean, I'm hustling it to try to get, you know, 100 people opted in to maybe have 30 or 40 show up. Mm-hmm. So it's funny you say that, because, you know, I'll do a post and I get like 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 people. And I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like what I'm doing that's not creating.
You just need one, really. I mean, you just need one. I know guys that, I'll tell you a good story. I use this story a lot in my examples, but so I subscribe to Adweek and all that stuff. Like I watch what people are doing and I'm like, that's dumb. That's cool. I don't know about that. Anyway, so there was this woman, she was a influencer on Instagram. She had like 1.3 million followers, like huge, like great, great audience, right? The Adweek wrote a story about this, and the brand Supreme, you know, Supreme, they approached her and she's like, we want you to promote our new t-shirt line. She's like, sure. They paid her $500,000 to do this. They're like, damn. Well, shit, she's got 1.3 million people. We're going to get sales out of this. She did the post. Guess how many she sold? Zero.
Wow. What?
She had to pay the money back.
Okay.
Now let's take somebody else as an example. I know a couple of roofing companies. I know a couple of solar companies. These guys post and they get maybe 20 likes and they're doing $150,000 a month in revenue.
Wow. Okay. So it's about, number one, the engagement of actual real people responding. And probably what you're saying and whether you're actually connected to them. It's not the volume. Yeah.
What if one person on that post of 6 likes reached to you and said, I'm interested to learn more about this. I don't know what your ticket cost is. Let's say it's $1,000. You say, yeah, man, let me tell you more about this. He's like, dude, I want to go. He signs up for $1,000. What's the ROI on that?
Huge. It's like
$1,000. That's stupid. It's like so stupid. See, but we get mechanically lost in this kind of like, I spent 20 grand and I didn't make this back. Well, if it's the very first thing I do with a company that says I'm spending so much and it's not working is I'm like, what is being communicated? And I have a video out there. I'm like, 80% of marketing is communication. 20% is the actual mechanical delivery. If this is not correct or well thought out or planned out or known, it doesn't matter what you throw at it. As case in point, Supreme Girl, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't work. So we're always analyzing. I'm always looking. I'm like, who are you thinking about when you're communicating? What are you thinking about? Why did you say that? What's the purpose behind what you're saying? Are you saying something to piss someone off? Or are you saying something to genuinely help someone? Did you give some information today that's going to somebody can take and utilize right now and be like, dude, if he's giving that out, what else does he have?
Do you find both work?
What do you mean? Being an asshole?
Yeah, pissing people off and being educational or no?
No, I don't. I never support any form of antagonism whatsoever on any social platform. I don't care who you are. Only because in the long, number one, that hurts your brand a little bit. So you're like, oh, this guy's a dick. Number two, and I'm not saying that because I don't like to like, there's definitely moments when you have to be, I hope you don't mind me cursing, but
I don't
know. You've got to handle stuff, you know, but to blatantly go out and do that to me is lowering a condition of power that you have. There's really no reason why you should do that at all. Really what you should be doing is you should be, what can I take out of this to educate someone with today? Because I'm always analyzing. I'm like, what is the reason you said that? Is that helping me or is that making me confused or damaged?
Right.
If it's making me confused or damaged, I'm blocking you. And that's what I do. I block people because I don't need that. See, this is the other side of promotion where I talk about responsibility and how the person is in charge of protecting the people that follow them. There are people that could come into your universe and post something that just completely blows confusion into your world. And you're like, you don't say anything and you let it happen. So now you're losing business because this guy came in and said something.
That's interesting.
Nobody's fact-checking anything, and you're like, my competition is winning. Well, the competition is winning because at least they're communicating something. Yeah. You're not communicating at all.
That's really interesting. Yeah, so you're even saying the people that you associate with can influence what people perceive your brand to be.
Exactly.
But if you have Yahoos that are posting crazy stuff, like, I mean, I might be that guy because I've been making fun of the coronavirus hysteria. But
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying it like
that. Dial that back. Stop making fun of them.
Yeah. So one of the rules that I do is I never follow what everybody else does.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just my golden rule. If everybody's posting about this thing, I don't even go in there.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, and that, I don't know if that's right or wrong. It's just what I have observed, because I look at it and I'm like, how does that pertain to me? Does it pertain to me? Does it really, do I want to feed into hysteria?
Right.
And not really. I don't want to. And I'm not making you wrong. It's just you did what you did, but I don't like to.
You were making fun of it with memes, but
that's fine. Dude, I was talking to a group the other day. They do health insurance and they're like, man, we need to get more leads. I said, damn, coronavirus is coming. Call everyone and put posts out about, are you insured? What's going on? This is
give
the
your
time
corona insurance.
You know? So, but again, it's all about what is, like, I'm all about the responsibility of people that follow me. I'm making sure that you're getting the right information. That's my job. That's why I'm in business, right? So how is it that that company or business is allowing other people to put false information out there and they're not doing anything about it? At the bare minimum, if you don't want to promote, you at least have to ask yourself, is that wrong information that's being promoted? And we need to handle that.
Yeah. So I think, again, this goes to, I'll use a personal example again, which is, you know, I'm a Salesforce consultant. So people, really what that boils down to is people have tools and they don't know what the hell to do with them.
Right.
So, and I think I have this conversation in the back of my head is, well, everybody knows what I know. I don't want to tell them the nitty gritty of these platforms and how I implement it. But what you're saying is, dummy, get out there and do that.
They don't. They don't.
they don't.
There
yeah, are.
That's
why people talk to me, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to, that's why you're there, right? I mean, the thing that I tell people is like, if you think it's stupid as you think it is and how, what's the word? How this should be common knowledge. It's probably not. It's common knowledge to you because you live in it. Like you're so engrossed in it. And you're like, it's like me explaining how to do a post on Facebook, right? But there are people that don't know.
Which is why you're in business, in a sense.
Which is why I'm in business.
Yeah, good point.
There are people that don't understand the mechanics of Salesforce that are probably using something else that's ruining their day. There might be one little feature in there that they get pissed off about. And you do a video on this and they're like, I'm going to buy Salesforce because it fixes the thing that pisses me off the most. You don't know that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's like you get stuck in your own head sometimes because I'm like in this bubble. Right.
Yeah. Where,
you know, that probably has a lot of value to people. In my case, like it's a selfish example, but it's like, yeah, to your point, well, I know this is not a problem, but most people don't. Or you
that's
know,
right.
People think, I've already bought this tool, it doesn't work, but it's like, yeah, you don't have anyone to help you. I can probably explain it.
Yeah. I mean, do you know every feature of your car?
I don't think so. Maybe.
every single feature of the car. I don't even know every single feature of the car.
It's just the ones you use, right?
Or even the iPhone. Do you know all the things this thing can actually do? Not really, right? So it's the same idea. It's like, well, maybe there's something in there we didn't know. Like I've got this program, this platform that I put my training on, and there's a feature in there I didn't even know existed, and I only found out because the guy showed me it was there. And I was like, if I knew about this
10 months ago,
I would have bought sooner.
Oh, wow. Are you in Lightspeed or?
Yeah.
I was going to guess, but.
Yeah. It's a great platform. Like I kept digging.
There's a lot in there that people don't, to your point, have no clue.
Yeah. And, but I'm not knocking him for it. I was like, dude, this is like, I could revolutionize marketing and content distribution with this one thing. That's exactly what I'm doing, by the way. But the point of the matter is like, even there, it's we know, oh, it's a training platform, but there's like 30 features in there that a business owner could use. And I'm not saying this, I'm not getting paid by Lightspeed, I'm using it as an example. But there are features in there that a business owner could utilize today that would save them hiring anyone. And I was like, this is insane. Insanity. Right?
Similarly.
But that goes back to your point. You know, that goes back to your point. You know, it's
And I think what you're saying is if you're a roofer, a fencing guy, maybe you sell cars, that you be the guy that gets out there and demonstrates your knowledge and helps people in advance.
Right. Why not? Like, why would I not do that? Because the next time somebody comes in, now what happens is everybody's like, dude, I love your content. The content's amazing. Thank you so much. You really helped me out. I just did a couple of things you told me about. Damn, it's working. It's wonderful. Then when the big boys come and they're ready to drop their 10, 20 grand, I'm like, they're like, we love this stuff. You're authentic. Like, I'm just portraying what I am. So there's no mystery. And then you got to get to the advanced level, which I go over in my training, but how do you think for the other person and prevent attacks from happening? If you can get to that genius wizardry, you are really a master promoter.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when I communicate, I think about every possible angle of how something is going to be received, right? So that goes back to that kind of antagonism thing. So if I'm creating that kind of like negative space, I'm literally opening it up for somebody to attack me or fight me or say something that I don't want to deal with, right? So before I speak, I'm like, all right, I'm going to say this. How is this going to be received? And what could be on the other side of that that somebody could try to refute or make fun of me for? So I handle all that in a communication, in a video.
So you're thinking the end step and how do I get there almost?
Yeah. So it's everything is contained within that communication. So then now what happens is people will listen to you and they'll say, well, I can't even really be mad about that. I can't even really hate that. And if they try, it just looks stupid because you've already addressed it. But that comes from experience, right? So that comes from your rejections on the phone. That comes from all the problems you might have had in past social media posts of people. You know, I had a client, she was saying, the person said, you're so into yourself. And I said, yeah, you should do a post about how into yourself you actually are because you're the only one that's going to promote and nobody else is going to know that I even exist. So of course I'm into myself because I spent $150,000 going to medical training for the last 8 years of my life. Of course I'm into myself because I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help someone. And if I, like you see the handling there?
It's yeah, a handling. You're dealing with the objection in public, first of all, and that's kind of what you're saying.
Right. You do both. Because then when someone talks to you, they're already like, oh, well, I don't have any. Like if they're going to come talk to you, they've done research already on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if they're don't give them a reason to hate you, give them a reason to need you. That's how I look at it. I'm like, I'm giving you reasons why you need me.
I like it. Okay. So that clarifies a lot of things that are probably in people's minds, right? Where it's like, they just don't know what, you know, how deep do I go and do I actually put it out there what I'm doing? And it's like, yeah, it seems obvious when you say it that way.
So. Yeah, and that's usually what happens. Like, it's so obvious. You're like, how did I not know this?
Right.
But that's the stuff that works. When you get to a point, you're like, oh, I kind of knew that already. Why didn't I do that? And then you start to do it. And I'm going to be releasing a video on my YouTube here shortly. It's called The Deeper You Go, The Better It Is For You in Promotion. And I talk about that. I'm like, the further you're willing to go, the better it is for your brand.
Interesting.
Whereas we would be afraid to communicate that stuff, it actually enhances the ability for someone to relate to you and to want to have a conversation with you. Because if you're in sales with somebody and you're going down the line and you're relating, you're doing your sales process and all this stuff, and they're like, ah, oh, it's too much money. It's like, yeah, man, I mean, I was in the same position before I bought this product myself. That's why I'm selling it, because I believe in it. I didn't have the money at the time, but I made it go right and it changed my entire life. I've been where you are. See that? We're just now, we're like, ah, okay, cool. He gets me.
It's the rapport that you build. And part of it is you're saying use video to build that rapport.
Video is the fastest way to do it. Articles, writing above text, photos, like all of that kind of entwined and circulating together really gives you that ability to do so. Video just gives you the instant ability to see a mannerism, to see someone. What do they look like? You know, like we're in my office right now. Like it's like this. After we're done, I'm back into production. Like that's it. So there's no fabrication allowed. It's what it is.
I love it. So if people are going to work with you, what does that look like and how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a baseline package that, if you wanted to just learn about everything we talked about on this interview, it's, sisloventures.com/secretsrevealed. It's just a training course, one-time pay, 130 videos. You get access to it. Or we do packages where we deliver content for you every month. I train you personally. You get the promotion stuff. We do websites, graphic design, promotion campaigns, everything. And you could go to sisloventures.com or Robert Sislo Jr. on any platform and reach directly out to me and I'll respond.
That's amazing. You're in Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm in Florida, but I mean, I've got clients as far as Australia, so it's fine. Beautiful. Yeah.
Okay.
And LA, I got two guys out in LA as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're out here, let me know.
I will. I will definitely. I think I'll be out there end of the month, early April.
So one thing I think I mentioned to you before this, I recorded an interview with Arabian Prince from NWA. He's a venture capitalist now, which is weird, but it's actually not weird when you talk to him.
Yeah.
What I told him, and I'll tell you, is I'm going to announce another event date in April.
Okay.
In Santa Monica. So maybe we can coordinate something. You can come out to that. Because
let's do it. I'm more than happy to.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll keep you in tune with that. And maybe one day we can do something in Miami.
Let's go. I'm ready. I love Miami. I love it here. It's beautiful.
It is awesome there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fountain Blue.
Fountain Blue. Yes. Let's do it. I love Fountain Blue. It's a beautiful place.
Okay. I'm gonna wrap up with a few things. The first is people say that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. So who are the five people that you're spending the most time with, Robert?
Wow. I don't agree with that statement, but
you can say that too.
Yeah, I really don't. Like if the person I'm spending time with is dependent on my outcome, then I'm not in control of my life. But to say that, I say this, I am very mindful about who is around me. So right. I would say the five people I spend the most time with would be Damon, my girl, my team, my web developer, my video editor, and then there's two clients that I have who I talk to on a regular basis that are just like, we bounce ideas off each other, and they kind of, I wouldn't call it a mentorship, we're more like friends about that. So, but they're all people that are productive and doing things. Those are the people I spend with.
Which validates what I'm saying. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
The second last thing I'll ask you is, how are you, Robert, changing the world?
Wow. So, I mean, my big thing is I do a couple things. Number one, I am helping people communicate better and realize their own sense of value and worth, and that what they have to say is worthy of communication. Because I think a lot of people repress they get a little caught up in the head, and 98% of the time, and this is my own experience because I suffered with that, was, you know, 98% of the time, people are happy you said something. The 2% that are not happy, you don't want them around anyway. So my whole thing is like identifying who you really are, that you have value, that you have worth, that you have a product and service that's worthy of promotion, and that they can communicate into the marketplace. So I'm literally raising the awareness level, both of themselves and responsibility for everybody else in the marketplace that they sell to.
I love it. That's a great answer. Okay, we'll wrap up with one final thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the Automate and Grow podcast, we like you to nominate and introduce us to other interesting guests. We typically talk to experts or entrepreneurs about their journey and the person they serve and the problem they solve. So who would you, Robert, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Dude, I'm going to nominate Bobby Castro, 110%. Bobby Castro, he's a good guy. I love his message. I love his authenticity. I love just how he helps people. I think he'd be worthy, more than worthy, for your audience. And I know he's helped me out personally with a few things that I was, you know, like, whoa, what do I do that? And he's a very genuine, heartfelt guy. And I think I definitely nominate him.
Okay, Bobby Castro, Robert has nominated you to be a future guest. We will accept that nomination. Robert, thank you so much for being on this. It's been amazing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was a wonderful time with you, and hopefully your guests learned something today.
I'm sure they will.
Great.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you in the next episode of Automate and Grow.